America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Entire world watched.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And humanity saw that the sky was not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Hi, I'm Angela Peabody of Global Woman Peace Foundation, and I listen to America's Meditating Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. This is Alona Holland, a listener of the America Meditating Radio Show. I'd like to convey my thanks to you, Sister Jenna and Sister Gita, all the way from Omaha, Nebraska.
Ashe, ashe, my life is a good life. Ashe, ashe. My life is good. Ashe, ashe, my life is a good life. Ashe, ashe, my life is a good life. Amen, amen, my heart is a good life. Amen, amen, my heart is good.
One of my favorite songs from Ricky Byers Beckwith from the Agape Spiritual Community in Southern California. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum 2 in Tyson's Corner, where I've been enjoying coming out on a regular basis, not only because the vibrations are incredible, but it's a new space, and who doesn't like newness? I know Antonia is saying, you've forgotten us in Maryland. Antonia, I'll never forget you guys. You guys are too awesome. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to have the wonderful Michaela Huss, and she's going to be joining us about how to really bounce onwards and forward and move on. If you've ever been in a situation where it's either a relationship that's been intimate or a job that you've put the best of yourself in or a project that you came on board with wanting it to thrive and just be the most amazing thing ever to mankind, or maybe just a relative in your midst, they said something. They did something. Maybe you weren't expecting what unfolded, or maybe you did something that you wished you could have taken back but can't. How do you bounce back from that? How do you move on? Because moving on means you no longer associate with the thinking or the scene, or moving on means you've learned a very valuable lesson of not to do that ever again, or moving on means that it just doesn't pop up in your mind anymore. And so my question to you today is, how many of you are able to just bounce back and bounce forward? Stay tuned as Michaela helps us to understand how we bring our stories forward and bounce forward into the best of who we need to be. Before I get Dr. Haas on, why don't we do what we do best here at the America Meditating Radio Show, and that is to meditate and to focus on a space within our own beings where we can find insight and wisdom for our own lives. And with that, I ask you to take a deep breath, relax, as we enjoy our inner light by the Knowing Myself CD.
Inner light. Taking just a minute, I relax my body and become aware of my inner light. I visualize each one of my thoughts weaving itself into this light. I draw from my heart the power of inner peace and the light of love. My thoughts are filled with compassion and forgiveness, patience, and tolerance.
Be and I'll be waiting to catch you when you fall, to see you through it all. Don't turn your face away from me, 'cause I'll be waiting all through eternity. I'll be there patiently. Don't take your love away from me. When you are weary, here's what I'll do. When you can't smile, I'll be the raindrops when you cry. I'll be the sun when you can't shine. And when the world runs out of time, I'll be there too. When the world runs out of time, I'll be there too.
That was I'll Be Waiting by Lucinda Drayton on Through Your Eyes CD. And I hope you enjoyed the meditation, Your Inner Light, from the Knowing Myself meditation CD by Sister Jayanti. You're listening to America Meditating Radio, and we are proud to welcome Dr. Michaela Haas, who's the owner of Haas Live, an international coaching company for media, mindfulness, and communication training. Dr. Haas is the author of Bouncing Forward and Dakini Power, as well as a contributor to and editor of several other books. Her articles have appeared in The Washington Post, HuffPost, CBS, Psychology Today, even Psych Central, and numerous online media outlets. As a successful writer, reporter, and interviewer for Germany's leading newspapers, magazines, and TV stations, Dr. Haas has more than 20 years of media experience. She has been studying and practicing Buddhist meditation for almost 20 years, and with a PhD in Asian studies, she combines powerful storytelling with scientific research grounded in spiritual insight. Today on the America Meditating Radio, we welcome you.
Thank you so much for having me and for creating this beautiful, nurturing online space for meditation.
Don't you love it? I was just saying that, you know, I've been looking so forward for like a program that sort of balances us out. You know, there's beautiful music. We get to hear wisdom that we can grow from. And then there's also time for reflection. So this kind of emerged as a beautiful gift because we were just bouncing forward, Dr. Haas.
Yes, exactly. But as you know, so many people tell me, oh, I'd love to get into meditation, but I can't meditate. And in our daily life, so much is pulling us away from that space of being present and being calm. And what you do, you know, by creating that space is such a gift.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, I like to find out about the wonderful friends that we get on the air. I mean, we have built an incredible community of friends on the America Meditating Radio. And every year we even host a retreat up in New York with all of our incredible guests. One of the things that really unites us are our stories, the way that we emerge in our stories. And we would love to find out a little bit more about what is it that started your journey in moving more into your inner being, into your inner world? What was it that was awakening your inner story more than your external one?
Yes, it's actually the same reason I wrote Bouncing Forward, Transforming Bad Breaks into Breakthroughs, because I was studying in India and Nepal in my 20s, and one of the things that impressed me so much was to meet Tibetan refugees, and they had lost everything. They had lost their homeland. Some of them had lost their health. Many of them had lost their families. Some of them had experienced torture. And yet, they were among the most compassionate people I'd ever met. And I wanted to know what they knew. I wanted to learn how they accomplished that. And that's really why I got into Buddhism and wanted to study it more seriously and learn the language and all of that. But then after a few years in Asia, pretty much from one day to another, I got quite ill. So I had just been up hiking up to the base camp of Mount Everest, and then a few weeks later I found myself bedridden. And I was bedridden for about 8 months. And I found out that I didn't cope well with it at all, because at that point, I was kind of a good weather meditator. You know, I was looking for that peaceful space that meditation can give you. But when I was ill and my body and my immune system were so out of control and, you know, I was in a lot of physical pain, I wasn't able to bring that meditative space into my world. I was desperate and cursing and screaming and, you know, all the things that are not helpful when you're suffering anyway. So that's really what sparked my journey into, well, how can I fortify my inner resilience? How can I strengthen the immune system of my soul, so to speak? Because there wasn't a lot I could do about my physical pain or illness as such. And that's really what put me on that journey to go deeper with meditation and also to research resilience and post-traumatic growth for bouncing forward, which is, by the way, a quote by Maya Angelou, who I interviewed for the book. And she spoke about her emergence from childhood trauma and violence as bouncing forward, going beyond what the naysayers said. And I find that so beautiful that I chose it as the title.
Well, if everyone who's listening on this call, if you've ever traveled in a developing country and gotten ill, let me tell you, there's nothing quite like it. You desire so much just to be in your own bed. And I don't think, it depends on how spiritual you are, Dr. Haas, it doesn't matter. Our bodies are not designed to deal with sometimes the illnesses that do emerge. However, I am sure it was a very powerful teacher in terms of helping us to figure ourselves out more. Tell us a little bit about your book. It's called Bouncing Forward. And why did you choose that name? Is it because of all the things that you have been observing in your life that if you don't move forward, then you're only going to be held hostage of your past?
Well, yes, it's because it's a quote by Maya Angelou, but also because if you think about it, you know, resilience means bouncing back, going back to your old form after a loss or something traumatic has happened. But if you think about it, we cannot really ever go back. Life moves forward, and after a loss or after a diagnosis, we're changed, profoundly transformed. And so I love that image of bouncing forward and working with that transformation that has happened. Because often people say, well, you have to get over it. But I find that there is no getting over it as such. There is only a gradual process of healing and integrating that experience and moving forward with it rather than suppressing it or denying that it ever happened. So there are really a lot of reasons why I chose that title, but also so many people have heard of post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic stress disorder, and the reality is that actually post-traumatic growth is much more common than post-traumatic stress, or often occurs at the same time with it, meaning it's the struggle that becomes the teacher. It's the struggle where we learn some deep truths about ourselves and the world and others.
Yeah, it's true. But when we're going through the struggle, it's like every part of your being feels like, when is this going to end? It feels like the hell of the soul. And hardly, you know, anything irritates trauma survivors more than statements such as, maybe something good will come out of this.
Yes.
You know, how is the science of post-traumatic growth different?
In many ways, because the first step is to acknowledge the pain. See, trauma literally means wound. We're wounded. We're hurt. And I don't even like to use that term disorder, because I think after a loss or an accident, it's completely normal to be wounded. And the first step is to take care of that wound, because otherwise it will fester and impact the whole body and soul. So that's the first step. And then the second step is to scout for allies. And the most helpful thing I think we can do is to talk to other survivors, other people who've been through something hard, and not to be afraid to listen. Some of these conversations can be uncomfortable, but I think exchanging our experience with other survivors' experience is really what helps the most in seeing that there can be a light at the end of the tunnel, and how did they go through what they went through and what helped them. So there is a great kinship and support that can come from it, because I've learned that nobody can do it alone. And there are traumas or events where the mere suggestion that there could be growth could come across as naive or as an insult, because very often time needs to pass before somebody heals that wound and arrives at experiencing some growth. Like my sister-in-law, Tammy, who lost her only child, this happened 15 years ago. And she now says, yes, I did experience post-traumatic growth. I've become stronger. I've learned more about myself. But if someone had told me that in the immediate aftermath, after the loss, when she was struggling so hard with the grief, she said, I would have slapped them. So there is a time and place for talking about the growth. And mostly it's not for others to say, but it's for the person who's gone through something hard to discover that in themselves. And, you know, everybody right. knows the saying, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Dr. Haas, I have a question which I've never asked before, and it's because of our conversation today that it's emerging. When you said that, you know, all of these traumas that we go through, of course, they add to our post-traumatic, you know, our growing in ourselves and becoming more resilient in ourselves. I've got a question that I've never asked before. When we're in our good place, when everything seems to be going the way that we want it to go, are we not growing during those periods? I've never asked that question before, by the way.
Of course we are growing. There's this beautiful Buddhist text that I love, and it's called Turning Happiness and Suffering into Liberation. So it's happiness and suffering. And I think we could use either to become more open and stronger and more compassionate, or we could use either to close down and become more egoistical and more focused on ourselves. So we can use happiness and share it and spread it and use it to connect with others, and we can use suffering to connect with others and to share the burden. It's both. It depends on how we use it. And both the good and the bad in this wild roller coaster called life is what we can use to either impact the world for good or not.
It's true. I don't know if you've heard Adele's new song called Hello, but it's a tearjerker. And even if you don't have someone that you've called a million times from the outside, which is the title of the song, right? You're still feeling these emotions, and I'm going, am I picking up her pain of the emotion, or is there a pain still sitting in me that I haven't resolved, or is there a sum total of pain from so many lifetimes? And I know that you cite a study where meditation caused a 40% reduction in pain intensity, you know, versus pain-relieving drugs like morphine and so on, which typically reduces pain by about 25%. But if that is the case, then why is it that, or what can we do to encourage people to meditate more, since meditation is actually offering souls that mental resilience to overcome the traumas of their past that seems to be plaguing their bodies currently?
Yes. You know, so many people think that meditation has to be something religious. And I was surprised when I went to the Army's Resilience Boot Camp that even in the Army, the first thing the soldiers do in the morning is that they meditate every day. A very basic form of mindfulness, just focusing on their breath, getting in touch with their emotions, with their body, with the present moment. And the Army does that because they know all these studies. There are hundreds of thousands of studies by now that show so clearly how meditation helps us in stressful situations. And you know all of this, and how it even physically changes our brain and how it actually helps to heal trauma. And so I wish everybody would meditate, but also meditation for some people can be a walk in nature, or it can be spending time with animals. I mean, meditation can take on different forms. So I've practiced meditation for about 20 years now, and I've been teaching meditation for a long time. So I'm trying to find what it is that helps somebody the most, and what kind of meditation brings them to the present moment the best. And that might be individual. The basic form of meditation, of focusing on the breath, I think that's helpful for almost everybody. But I also understand that some people say, I just can't sit still. And so maybe we do a walking meditation. We take a walk in nature or at the ocean.
Mm-hmm. It is true. Now, you mentioned about the Army, and Veterans Day. We're celebrating that. And you state that the Army has ditched much of its old Rambo rhetoric that a soldier needs to be invincible and, you know, invulnerable, and that, in fact, the Rambo type, who is more prone to impulsive lone hero acts, is much more susceptible to PTSD than his or her level-headed team members. Now, what do you think this shift in thinking can be attributed to, and how will it actually positively affect our troops for the future?
You know, it's simply not realistic to think that somebody who's resilient can go through fire and comes out unscathed. It's just, it's not realistic and it's not helpful, and the Army had to change their approach because, as you probably know, we're now losing more soldiers to suicide than to the war. So the old strategies were clearly not working. And instead, when I went to the resilience boot camp, what they teach the soldiers now is to communicate openly and honestly, not to be afraid to talk about fears and weaknesses, and to reach out for help, because nobody can do it alone. That goes for any survivor of any trauma. We need support. And the Army has recognized that to encourage soldiers to reach out and to talk about their vulnerability is the way to go. And that, I think it's no coincidence that that comes with, you know, including meditation, including communication training. All of these things are helpful, because if we don't do that and if we don't acknowledge trauma for what it is, we're not doing anybody a favor. It's really counterproductive. And when I talk about trauma, by the way, I'm not just talking about the big traumas like the war in Iraq or Vietnam or losing a child. I'm also talking about everyday traumas that all of us experience, like a surgery or a divorce or losing a loved one. It's not always the big capital T traumas that pull the rug out from under us. So I think I went to the Army because the Army is the organization that has the keenest interest in figuring out how to heal trauma. But really, for all of us, you know, this is important to learn how to deal with setbacks and life's challenges.
I love that. And our soldiers that have returned from their dedication and commitment in all countries, I think we do believe to welcome them with open arms. Dr. Haas, as we come to a close of our wonderful conversation, is there anything that you would tell someone who has hidden or suppressed their trauma for a whole lifetime? Let's say they just don't know how to articulate what they're going through, because there are many people walking around with a repressed accumulation of their traumatic past. What would you tell someone like that?
Thank you so much for mentioning that, because I think that's so true. And everybody I spoke with who tried to push away the trauma and tried to pretend it wasn't that bad, and that grin and bear approach that, you know, some of us are fond of, it's important to know that sooner or later a trauma will surface and there is no way around it. And we need to express it to at least one other person before we can be able to process it and heal it. And every person I spoke with was so glad when they finally found that courage and either got professional help or were able to express it to a loved one or their partner and release that trauma. Because we store trauma not only in our heart and our soul, but also in our body. And we need to release it in order to heal it. So I would say, don't give up and don't be afraid to keep reaching out, because sometimes the people who we think will be there for us aren't, and we need to keep reaching out and keep searching for our tribe and for the right allies that are able to hear what we have to say and are able to listen when we express our deepest fears or talk about the unspeakable. So I would say don't give up and keep searching until you find the right support. This is so important.
I think so, because the people that you live with and know you the most, where you might be going to have them understand you or try to understand what you're going through, will be the audience that perhaps least can hear you because they're so accustomed to your story. But I do believe that there will always be that person who comes in front of you with a clean slate that just might be the angel to help you to remove that story. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much. Dr. Haas, before I let you go, enlighten us with your favorite life quote and maybe any other information that you'd like our listeners to know about you and your book. And please come back on the show again. I loved having you on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. I think one of my favorite quotes is again from Maya Angelou, and she says, "Nothing will work unless you do." And that's speaks so much to our not giving up, and I cherish the conversation I had with Maya Angelou for Bouncing Forward. You can find more information about my work and about Bouncing Forward on my website, michaelahaas.com. And of course, you can find the book on Amazon and indie bookstores and everywhere books are sold. So please check it out. Maybe it's the right thing for you or for a friend who's going through a hard time.
Thank you so much. We wish you all the continued success, and thank you for the great work that you're doing.
Same to you, Sister Jenna. Thank you.
Take care, Dr. Haas. All the best.
All the best to you. Bye-bye.
So, my friends, please find the right support. Don't feel that you are ever alone in your journey of your pain. Pain has not avoided any one of us, just FYI. And sometimes you might think that your pain is deeper than anyone else and that no one can ever at all understand what you are going through. Trust me. They do, and it's fine. So with that said, I leave you with my well-wishing closing statement on every show. Please remember, no one has the capacity to take away your happiness. It's entirely up to you to give them permission to do that. And if we apply loving each other the same, we just might end up breaking records and really transcending beyond. I'm going to end with I Am from an old CD I came across by Bliss. And it's got the most beautiful rhythm. Take care, everyone. All the very best.
Wait.